The title of today's message is The Testimony of Yeshua. As was said earlier, there are 17 days until the presidential election. It's been an agonizing campaign. Who knows what the next 17 days will look like? And because Ohev Yisrael is a 501c3 organization under IRS regulations, I cannot tell you for whom you should vote. I can give you a hint, though. We're not voting for the Messiah. We're voting to elect the president. Don't expect the guy you vote to or the woman you vote to be the Messiah. They're not. They're just the president. So that was my hint. The characters of both candidates have been impugned. The Republicans claim that the Democratic candidate has the media and the Justice Department in her pocket and that she's a crook. The Democrats claim that the Republican candidate is a racist bigot who contradicts himself and makes fascist remarks reminiscent of Adolf Hitler during his rise to power. Last week, I received a prophetic word, I believe, about the election. It was a scripture, and I hope I have time to read it to you at the end of the message. It's from Psalm 93. But today is a special day in the Jewish calendar, the Sabbath of the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, Shabbat Chol HaMoed. This, of course, refers to the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. It's the one Sabbath that occurs right during that feast. There are usually special readings for the day. We did something different today because we weren't planning to get together for Simchat Torah, so we got together today and read from the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Genesis. But normally, the reading for today would be special readings that are selected having to do with things that pertain particularly to Sukkot. In the reading from Exodus, which is normally read today, Hashem tells Moses to cut two tablets like the first two which he broke. And then Hashem wrote on the tablets the words that were on the first two tablets. He wrote on the tablets himself, by his own finger, the words that were on the first two tablets. Later on, we find that the tablets were placed in the ark that was in the most holy place, in the tabernacle and later in the temple. The most holy place was a place of supernatural things. So you had the Shekhinah, the presence, the light that shone from between the cherubim above the mercy seat. You had the tablets, of course. You had Aaron's rod that budded and produced almonds, just standing there, budded and produced almonds. There was a container of manna, the supernatural bread that came from heaven every day in the wilderness. The ark was called the Ark of Testimony because all of these things were evidence that the presence of Hashem was with Israel, the Ark of the Testimony. Now, don't forget that the name of the message is The Testimony of Yeshua. Okay, so there's a link there. The Ark of Testimony and the Testimony of Yeshua. So in our reading, Hashem promised to make Israel a separated people, a people with whom His presence would go. Their testimony was Adonai's presence. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the sacrifices had a hidden meaning. On the first day, there were 13 young bulls offered, along with the rams, the lambs, and the grain and drink offerings. On the second day, there were 12 young bulls offered, along with the other offerings. Each day, until the seventh day, there were one fewer bulls offered. So the total number of young bulls offered was 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7. Now, if you're a mathematician like I am, you took the 13 and added to the 7 and got 20. You multiplied it times the number of days, which is 13 minus 7 plus 1, so 7 days. 7 times 20 is 140, and you divide by 2. You get 70 bulls. Or you could just add 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7. There's a Jewish tradition that there were 70 nations on the earth at the time that Abraham was set apart to be a special nation, a great nation. He said, I will make you a goy gadol, a great goy, a great nation. The word goy simply means nation. I make you a great nation, a blessing to all the families of the earth. And there were, by tradition, 70 nations in the earth at that time. So the understanding was, and is in Jewish commentary, that there's one young bull offered for each nation of the earth. Israel was to be a priestly nation, a kingdom of priests. And those sacrifices were on behalf of the nations of the earth that the Lord would bless them. In fact, the Feast of Tabernacles is the only festival where all the nations are commanded to come and worship Adonai. Zechariah 14:16. I'm sure you've all read it, but I'm going to read it again. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Adonai Tzvaot, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't it interesting? This one feast. In our Haftarah reading, which would have been for today, we changed it around because of the special readings and so on, but what it would have been in our Haftarah would have been Ezekiel 38. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. So there's a day coming when the Lord is going to cause Israel to no longer profane his name, and all the nations will know that he is the Holy One in Israel. Hashem has always wanted the nations of the world to know him. He separated Israel as a testimony nation in order to sanctify his name in the world so that all the nations will know that he is the God of Israel. The people who were called to be his people, the people of Israel, were to live their lives in holiness, keeping the commandments, receiving his special blessings, his protection, and the special honor of blessing the nations with the reality of the God of Israel. To whom much is given, much is required. Hashem also promised Israel that if they disobeyed his commandments and worshipped idols, then they would receive a curse, so that the name of the Lord would be honored. When Israel acted in a manner unworthy of Hashem, because of the testimony of his name, it was necessary to chastise his people. If he didn't chastise his people, then the nations would consider the name of the Lord to be diminished, since he had placed his name on the people. The chastisement of our people was for a testimony to the nations, just as the blessing also was. Now let me ramp things up just a bit. The title of my message is The Testimony of Yeshua. One of the systems for reading the New Covenant Scriptures during the Torah service in Messianic Jewish congregations is through the ministry of the Flame Foundation. How many people are familiar with or have heard of the Flame Foundation? It's headed by my friends Jeff and Pat Feinberg in Chicago. They put together a very nice product that you can find online. It's free, which shows all the Torah and Haftarah readings for the year, including the special days, special readings, along with a selection of new covenant readings that they have added, which I assume through their prayer and study, they believe match up with the Torah and Haftarah readings. So the flame selection for today is Revelation 19, 1 through 16. In particular, in verse 10 we read, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.'" This was in response to a voice from the throne. Verse 5 in Revelation 19, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And then in verse 9, the voice also said, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said, "These are the true sayings of God." And so John, who is receiving this revelation, who's seeing this whole thing unfold before him in a vision, falls down on his face to worship him. And he was rebuked, "See that you do not do that." And so there's this explanation. "I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Yeshua." So somehow in this vision, another believer in Yeshua was talking to him about these things and declaring to him these things about the marriage supper of the Lamb and so on. And he says, "I am of your brethren who have the testimony of Yeshua." A testimony is not just standing on the street and handing out tracts or going door to door. It's not just proclaiming that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's nothing wrong with those things. But that's not the underlying meaning when he talks here about the testimony of Yeshua. The testimony of Yeshua is the evidence of a supernatural experience where you encountered him and through which you have become a child of God. A supernatural experience is your testimony. The testimony lives in you because your eyes were opened to the reality of Yeshua as part of the identity of God. And because he has given you his spirit and made your spirit alive with his spirit. Through Yeshua's sacrifice, God has renewed his people. Though we, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way, Adonai has laid our iniquity on him. The chastisement was upon him so that we might once again have peace with God. The chastisement of our people is on Yeshua so that we can have peace with God. The Jewish people, sometimes referred to as Kalal Yisrael, were chastised. Through Yeshua the Messiah, a remnant has been established, a remnant who have returned to Hashem, returned to Torah, returned to the Son of David, the King, Yeshua, and are already returning to the land of promise. The Lord has restored the voice of Israel. He has poured out his spirit on all flesh, and the sons and daughters of Israel prophesy. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. I know, because I have a dream. Sometime I'll talk to you about that. And to provoke Israel to jealousy, he has called out a remnant, from among the nations. When the nations honor the God of Israel in their lives, when the nations show forth the testimony of Yeshua, all Israel will be saved. There is today a true and faithful remnant among the Jews, yet because of anti-Semitism, many in the wider church world remain confused about Israel. Many teach that Israel has stumbled, and those who have the testimony of Yeshua have taken over as the new Israel. But Paul says in Romans 11:11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. The role of the redeemed Gentiles, the remnant of the nations, is to do what the unredeemed nations didn't do. The unredeemed have hated God and the people of God, but you can't love God and hate the people of God. There have been numerous examples of those who have claimed to receive the Messiah, calling themselves Christians, but who have persecuted the Jewish people beyond the will of Hashem. I'm talking about beyond the will of the chastisement that he had in mind for his own people. Yes, God had to chastise his people, and he did use the nations to do this, but those nations are judged by the manner of their treatment toward the Jewish people. In carrying out the chastisement of the Lord on his people, the nations often went way beyond the will of God and persecuted them out of their own hatred and mistrust. So just as the Jewish nation is called to repent and return to God and to his Son whom he sent, those who have called themselves Christians but who have gone beyond the will of God in their treatment of the Jewish people must also repent and return to the heart of God, which is for his people. Because this is the people into whom the nations receiving Yeshua have been grafted. This is the people into whom the nations who receive Yeshua have been grafted. Not as Jews, as Gentiles, but grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Yeshua said, "My sheep hear my voice. The voice of Hashem dwells in you because he has made you a living being in his new creation. If you have the testimony of Yeshua, then you have the spirit of prophecy." This means that you are able to speak. Out of your knowledge of God, through receiving Yeshua's spirit into your own, you are able to speak the very words of God. "My sheep hear my voice." If somebody tells me they don't hear the voice of Yeshua, I say, how do you know that you're his sheep then? How can you tell that you're his sheep if you don't hear his voice? It's a good time to maybe pray that they would be his sheep. They may think they're his sheep, but maybe they still need to pray. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." The testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. You have the same spirit in you that raised Yeshua from the dead. And when you hear someone else prophesy, does your spirit bear witness of the spirit of Yeshua? Perhaps something prophesied by someone sparks a prophecy in you. Maybe a clarification of the previous prophecy, or perhaps an additional element. If you are speaking what God is speaking, if you are hearing his voice, you don't need to be afraid of the outcome of a presidential election. This nation was founded on Christian principles and by Christian patriots. Many words have been spoken over this nation about its Christian roots and our debt to God, by whose grace the nation was established and continues to this day. Yes, there is freedom, but it's not the freedom to do whatever you want. It's the freedom to obey God in whatever he wants. That's the freedom that we have in this country. If God wants to judge this nation, then all we can do is repent. And perhaps now is the time of repentance. I hope that no matter who wins this election, those who voted for the winning side will also see the need to repent. Because it isn't about us versus them. It's about us versus God. And so, I would like to conclude with Psalm 93, the scripture that Hashem gave me last week for this election. I believe it is the testimony of Yeshua in me that brings it forth. The Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. May your testimony be very sure. May your voice and your vote carry the testimony of Yeshua. Amen. Elders,